Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, I love December nights. This is our 12th year, and this is one of those years that no one has really known what 2020 will throw at us next. But normally we cancel our morning services and we come together for an evening time together, and the adjustment in schedule always means it's very, very special. But since we've been meeting in the evenings since the summer, really, we're very, very grateful for Grace Life and for their opening their doors to us and providing a way for us to meet. The adjustment in schedule is not there, but we are so thankful that they have come and they've decorated so well their auditorium and out in the lobbies just so that we can walk in and have this environment to celebrate Jesus in together tonight during Christmas. And thank goodness for Christmas this year, right? We have needed Christmas so badly. On a normal year, our kids, our children, they all wait in eager expectation for Christmas, especially when you start decorating your homes. How many of y'all have already put your tree up? I hope. Let's see a great show of hands. How many of you are still dragging your feet in your tree? All right, we'll have a talk after the service, okay? But it is one of those times that the first decoration that goes up is like kids go into this manic mode of like, when's Santa coming? Where's Christmas? You know, here's what I want, Christmas list. And you start making plans for dinners and families and gatherings and visits and travel. But this year it's been really difficult, hasn't it? It's been difficult for us as a nation. It's been difficult for us as a world. It seems like one thing after another, turmoil, anxiety, violence, division, depression. We are all ready for these 365 days to be over. But before they are, we have Christmas. And thank God for Christmas. Christmas symbolizes to us that God loves us so much that he sent a Savior. Christmas is our opportunity as followers of Jesus to make much of our Savior, that the hope of the world has come. And it's at Christmas when we recognize why Jesus came that we remember how humble we must be before him. You see, Jesus came to die on a cross for my sins and for your sins. Jesus came to set the world right. Jesus came to invite any who would trust in him into an eternal love relationship. You see, our sin wrecked this world. And when we look out at 2020, we may have been in denial for a long time in our lives that there's something wrong with the world. But 2020 has been kind of an in-your-face moment, maybe behind your mask in-your-face moment, that this world is flawed and it's broken and it's full of heartache and turmoil and bitterness and sin. And our sin is part of it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it says this, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for adoption and the redemption of our bodies." It's this theme of waiting eagerly for Jesus to make all things right again that we'll be examining over the next couple weeks and December nights together. We're going to be moving into this series that we're going to be looking at a different, familiar Christmas carol each evening and allowing its lyrics and its notes to both soothe and to instruct us about God's word. And we'll make a few comments about it that we can walk away from, but tonight we're going to be looking at a song that was originally written in Latin. We won't make you sing it that way, don't worry. But it first was documented in Germany in 1710. The tune for the words was created separately, and they were matched up with the hymn in 1851. And the song is, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Michael Kelly is an author, and he also works at Lifeway, but he made this comment about the song that I really appreciated. He says, the song, the music, was written in a minor key, which is fitting, since it is a song that expresses the deep longing of our souls. We, in our brokenness, know that all is not indeed well, and we are reminded of it every day. We are reminded of the great fallenness in our homes, in our world, and even in our most silent moments when we look inside ourselves. We are a people of longing, longing for true joy, for true satisfaction, and for true life. We look across our world this evening and knowing that even in our country, we have an undecided election with all kinds of legal challenges in front of us. And for those of you who are too young to remember, it harkens back to 2000 when we didn't have a president until a concession on December the 16th in 2000. These are crazy, wild days that we have lived in, and we all sense the heaviness and the weight. But for us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we hope that tonight you will be reminded again of the appropriateness of longing, the appropriateness of living in this already not yet moment of our lives. See, Jesus has come to save us. Jesus did die on the cross. Our sins have been forgiven. All of that is already. But there is also a not yet. The kingdom of God is not yet fully here. Salvation for all peoples is a hope that we have, and it's a prayer that we have. Jesus' return is a not yet for us. And so tonight, I think it would be appropriate for us to look at scripture that reminds us of the importance of you as followers of Jesus to live in a state of longing. The appropriateness of waiting, of active waiting, of yearning, of active yearning, and of active longing. So in Isaiah chapter 26, 9, it tells us this, I long for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me diligently seeks you. For when your judgments are in the land, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. He says, I long for you in the night. Well, what an amazing opportunity for homework for us in our souls. That instead of drifting off looking at an app or whatever it may be, that we drift off in a state of longing prayer, saying, Jesus, I look around, I look inside myself, I look outside myself, and I see that things aren't right, but tonight, Father, I lay myself down before you. I quiet my soul before you, and I announce to you that I long for you. I long for your return. I long for you to set all things right. I long for you to remind me of how much you love me. In Psalm 63, verse 1, the psalmist says, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry and desolate and without water. The psalmist compares his physical lack, his thirst, his hunger to the parching of his soul, saying that he longs for God's presence in his heart. He longs to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is near. He says, God, you're my God. I eagerly seek you. And then in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, we have one of the most famous passages and prophecies in the Old Testament. So God basically told Amos the prophet that there was coming a day that there would be no more prophets, that Israel would experience a famine, not a physical famine of food, but God would remove spiritual voices from within the nation of Israel so that they would have a famine of the word of the Lord. And until John the Baptist came and began to say, make way for the Lord, there was 400 years in Israel's history where there is prophetic silence. And so the prophecy says this in Amos 8:11, look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to east, seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. It's this picture of hearts so desperately eager to hear from God and yet not able to hear from God. And perhaps in this Christmas season, you may find yourself that way. You may have a family member. You may have a deep soul friend that feels that way, that just feels like God is so distant to them. And they are hungry. They are thirsty for words from God. And it is your life that will be the voice of the Lord in their wilderness. I love how the longing of hearts is compared to thirst in the New Testament. We sing, O come, Emmanuel. And when Jesus, who was Emmanuel, came, he expressed the longing of hearts as a thirst. And you can probably identify with this, is that there are times in your life that you're just so thirsty, you're parched for God to do something in your life, to God to move, for God to show up, for God to speak, for God to encourage, for God to show the way. And Jesus compared it to thirst. And in John chapter 4, verse 13, he's speaking to a Samaritan woman at a well, and he says this, anyone who drinks from this water, and he points at the well water, will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I give him will never thirst again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. That's the beautiful nature about Jesus. That's what Christmas reminds us of, is that Jesus satisfies the thirst of our hearts. He satisfies the hunger of our souls. He is the living water. He is the bread of life, and he has come to save us. It's what we celebrate at Christmas. And again, in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, on the last and the most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. Folks, that means that when there is a famine and dryness in our culture, it means that you will be well nourished through a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It means that nothing in our world will satisfy the longing of your soul, that you were made, that you were created for a love relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus. And when you walk in humble intimacy before him, the living water that he is nourishes you and strengthens you and assures you daily of his love for you. And isn't it interesting that at the very end of the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 21, 6, Jesus' name here is the Alpha and Omega, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. And then again in Revelation 22, 17, it says, both the Spirit and the bride. And the bride here means the church. And so it's this picture of the Holy Spirit and the resurrected church all inviting people. And they say, come, let anyone who hears say, come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take of the water of life freely. I think it's this amazing reminder that when we sing, O come, Emmanuel, it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, which says that the government shall rest upon his shoulder and he shall be called Prince of Peace, Almighty God. And then it also says that he will be called Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. And so when we sing, O come, Emmanuel, we're inviting God's presence. We're inviting God's nearness, not just into our world, but we're inviting his nearness into our lives for an intimate relationship with him based on love. Jesus quenches our thirst. He fulfills our longing. And anyone whose heart looks forward to Jesus and cries out, O come, Emmanuel, will discover the beauty and the hope and the wonder of Christmas, not out there, but in here. You see, there were two senior adults in Luke chapter 2 that had been waiting desperately for Israel's Messiah. And in Luke chapter 2, it records that Joseph and Mary had brought the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to dedicate him in the temple, like they would do for all young Jewish boys. And so they bring him into the temple to dedicate him, and there is a senior adult that they encounter that the scripture says that God had spoken to Simeon and said that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And something happened there. We don't know exactly what the Holy Spirit did, but the Holy Spirit essentially elbowed Simeon and said, this child is the one. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. He was looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And so he gets to hold Jesus. And he announces to his parents that this is the Messiah. But I love this expression. It says he's looking forward to Israel's consolation. This means that Simeon was longing, that Simeon had been actively waiting, that Simeon's life had been structured around hope that Jesus, the Messiah, would come and that he would meet him. And not too many verses later, the parents, who are still bewildered from their encounter with Simeon, they encounter another senior adult named Anna, who says that she had been a widow for a long, long, long time and had devoted herself to the service of the temple. In fact, in verse 38 of Luke 2, it says, she did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and she began to thank God and to speak to him, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Anne herself came up and she began to speak to any who would listen and who had been looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Do you get that? Anna was speaking to people who were ready. Anna was speaking to people who were thirsty. Anna was speaking to people who were hungry. She was speaking to people who were eager and were ready for the appearing of Jesus Christ. What about you this evening in this Christmas season? Is your heart longing for more of Jesus? Is your soul thirsty for intimacy with the God who made you and loves you? Do you sense that your life has been lived in a minor key? That it's not quite the symphony that God desires it to be? Do you need a new song sung and played over your life? Do you need Jesus to give you rest and reflection and rejoicing and renewal? I love how faith in Jesus changes our minor keys to symphonies of songs and choruses of praise. The most powerful thing that we can see in Scripture is that when we can't help but sing with our life in a minor key, over our longing for Him to set all things right, over our awareness of our own brokenness and our frustration with the world's brokenness, we are assured through Scripture that Jesus sings a better song over us. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it's a precious prophecy, but it also applies directly to Jesus and His relationship with us. It says, "The Lord, your God, is among you." That's Emmanuel, God with us. "He is a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in His love, and He will delight in you with singing." I love that Scripture says that when we offer up a half-hearted minor key, that Jesus is singing over us because He loves us so very much. So this Christmas season, I want to invite you to refresh the longing of your heart for the right things in your life. And first and foremost, your heart's longing should be focused entirely on an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this Christmas? Have you given your life and faith to Him? And if you have, are you living in eager expectation of Him to do things in you and through you, to bless you and through you to bless others this Christmas season? Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8, and he says this, "There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who love His appearing."
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.